Let us turn to the book of Psalms, Psalms 51. Amen. Psalms 51, which the Lord had placed this on my heart. I have preached this a couple times, and usually every time I do. This is the one that the Lord has placed upon my heart. And I want to talk tonight about the power of taking responsibility for the sin that's in your life. All right? The power. And understand, you got power, okay, to take responsibility of the sin that's in your life. We ain't talking about nobody else's life, okay? So everybody go blank, all right? Put the mirror up there, all right? Because this is one of them in your face. It's all about you and the Lord, all right? This ain't one of them looking at this one, looking at that one. Ooh, that one's for you. No, this one is for you, all right? This one is for you. Let us just pray. Father, we just thank you once again. Lord, thank you first and foremost for your presence. Thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. Oh, God, we just pray right now that we bind anything that is not of you that might be in this room, any form of distraction, any hindrance, dear God, that might be here. God, I just pray right now that you hide me behind the cross, dear God, that they may see all of you and none of me, Lord, that they may hear all of you and none of me, oh, God, that in all that we do, that we bring you glory and bring you honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. A lot of us are familiar with this psalm, or maybe you ain't. But this is a psalm of prayer of repentance by King David. Amen. And one thing I want you to realize that David, even though he was anointed king of Israel and David was anointed again, a lot of times we have to realize that just because we are born again believers, all right, we have to understand that we were born with a nature in us that is rebellious against God. Yes, with all your anointing, with all the Holy Ghost that moves in here, with all the anointing that's been going through here, with all the hands that have been laid on you, all right, you still have this nature that if you do not take control of it, it'll still rebel against God. Amen? So we have to understand through this psalm, all right, this anointed man of God, all right, knew what to do when he get in trouble. All right? And as believers, that's what you have to understand, that we are not going to live perfect lives. Amen? We're going to sin less because of who we know, but that doesn't mean that we are going to be sinless. All right? Everybody cool with that? All right. So we have to understand about this, that the subject, first and foremost, says taking responsibility, which means that there has to be some action on our part. When we take responsibility for something, that means we take action. You take responsibility for things, because in this day and age, in the time that we live, one of the greatest things lacking in our society is people taking responsibility. Things lacking in organizations and institutions and even in churches is people taking responsibility for their actions. All right? And this goes all the way back to the garden with Adam and Eve playing the blame game. Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. And the serpent, he didn't have nobody to blame. He was just caught out there, all right? So that's where all this thing comes from. We live in a world today where fathers don't want to take responsibility for their children. Not every father, all right? And there's mothers as well. Husbands don't want to be responsible for their commitment covenant with their wives. There's a lot of things that go on. People don't want to be responsible for their neighborhoods, for all the things that go on, all right? But the time is coming that we must take responsibility for what is going on in our lives instead of just looking at things and not stepping up. As believers, we have a responsibility to speak out. The Bible says the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world and those that dwell within. If we are our Father's children, amen, yeah, we should be able to step up and bring a word of correction or bring a word of understanding to people. One of the greatest things that's wrong with this world today is people have no understanding. And the Bible teaches us as believers that in all you're getting, that we get understanding. Now, we could look at this and we could say, how did David get himself in this predicament? Here he is, the anointed king. He's been anointed twice, all right? He's the king of Israel. And here he is. Let's just read these first 13 verses. He says, have mercy. Everybody there? Let's all be on one accord. Amen. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. All right? Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly of my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you alone have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Excuse me. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones that you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sin. Blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. Renew the right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with thy generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted unto you. Number one, the first thing we have to look at this is that if God has not done a work in you, then you're not going to be able to teach anybody else anything. All right? And this is not a message to beat up on anybody or for anybody to think on that, because I said this is about you getting the power to take the authority of the sin that is in your life. Because the Bible says that if we say that we have no sin, all right, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, all of us. Might not be blatant, might not be like your old life, but all of us fall short. The Bible says we have all fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? Each and every one of us. But I just want to show you. Let us turn to 2 Samuel. All right? Go to 2 Samuel chapter 11. Because like I said, you wonder how David even got into the mess that he got into. Sometimes we wonder how we got in the mess that we got into. Amen? 2 Samuel chapter 11. And I'm going to start in verse 1. Everybody there? Say amen when you got it. Say hold on. Or table of context, whatever you need to get there. But let's get there, all right? Amen. That's right. All right. I'm reading from the New King James. So it said, it happened. All right? Sometimes we wonder, how did this happen? How did I get myself in this predicament? How do I find myself in this situation and circumstance? It said it happened in the spring of the year that when the kings go out to war, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Reba, but David remained in Jerusalem. See, anytime God gives you assignment and you neglect your assignment, you're setting yourself up for the enemy to come and operate in your life. It said it happened when the kings. See, David's job was a king. He was a warrior. See, there's a season for everything. It's springtime. All right? We don't do it now, but there's a season. And David's season was to go out and to fight the enemies of God. But see, he was out of his place. See, I don't care this revival, whatever part you got. You're a Sunday school teacher. You're a doorkeeper. You're in a praise and worship. Whatever you got to do, stay in your place. Because it's when you get out of your places, that's when the enemy's going to start going to work. Because that's what happened with David. Because he was out of place. He was out of place. He wasn't doing his job. And anytime you ain't fighting, that means that you're taking the armor off. And anytime you take the armor off, guess what? You're open target for the enemy. That's why the Bible says put on the full armor of God. Because we're supposed to be fighting every day. When you get up out of the bed, you're supposed to be fighting. As soon as your eyes open. You know, that armor, it talks about everything, but it never talks about your back. Why? Because God got your back. See, we ain't supposed to retreat. We ain't supposed to be the ones backing up. We're supposed to trouble your trouble and trouble the devil. Amen? Because we got the power. That's why the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. So no matter what you face on a day-to-day basis, guess what? Greater is he that is in me. Who's in you? Christ, the Holy Spirit. Greater is the one that lives in me than anything that I have to face on a day-to-day basis. And then it said, and then it happened again. It happened again. One evening when David arose from bed and walking on the roof of the king's house, from the roof he saw a woman bathing. And there you go. And the woman was very beautiful to behold. The Bible talks about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. They will get you in trouble every time. Every time what you're looking at will get you in trouble every time, because that's what happened to David. Look at verse 3. It says, so David sent and inquired about the woman, And someone said, it is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliab, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. That should have been timeout right there. That's somebody else's wife. What you looking at is somebody else's wife. What you looking at is somebody else's husband. Timeout right there. End of story. End of story. Jesus said, if you look upon a woman with lust in your eye, you already done committed about that. He didn't say that you can't look upon a woman. He said you can't look upon a man. You got eyes. God ain't crazy. Okay? But it's what you looking at and how you looking at and what's going through your head when you look it. Because, see, that's how David got into the trouble that he got in. Because, number one, he was at a position where he should have been. That's number one. And then number two, he let his eyes get himself in trouble. And then once your eyes start, then the mouth starts. And then every other things follow. You give your brain a picture, it will develop it. Your brain is very, very powerful. Don't let your imagination get you in trouble. Because you have the power over this. Understand, the devil's going to tempt you. It's only sin when you act on the temptation. All right? If he tempted Jesus, he is sure enough going to tempt you. But what did Jesus do? By intelligent use of the scripture, he defeated the devil. I don't care what the enemy speaks to you. It's intelligent use of the scripture. Every time you hear something that doesn't line up with God, say, it is written. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. It is written. It is written. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone. It is written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You have the same power. Why? Because we got the same word. That's your power. So take your power to have the responsibility over the sin or even the temptation of it. All right? The sequence of David's sinful, listen to this. The sequence of David's sinful affair with Bathsheba is most instructive. He sought knowledge of Bathsheba. He sent for her. He sinned for her. The rapid development of sin from lust is catalyzed by James. Remember James? In James 1, he said, James 1 and 12, he talked about, blessed is the man who endures temptation. And then they said, don't let a man say that he's tempted by God, because God can't be tempted by evil. All right? He said, it's your own desires. That's what takes you. Your own desires takes you into that place. And that's what happened with David. It took him into that place where he shouldn't have been. All right? The sin of David and Bathsheba was a result of further deceit and eventually in the death of an innocent party. And less rapidly refuse, one sin will often lead to another. David's sin was punishable by death. Although he was forgiven by God, the sin had tragic consequences for him personally, for his own family, and for his own nation. Understand, when we sin, okay, which means sin is an offense to God, we give God a black eye. But not only do you give God a black eye, you give your own self a black eye, you give your own family a black eye, you give your church a black eye, and then eventually you give your whole nation a black eye. Because people think, I'm grown. This is my life. But your life affects everybody else's life. Why? Because we all in this together. Amen? So that's why we have to understand, even though we see this situation and see this circumstance, all right? Understand, God will always send a warning before his judgments come. All of us are going to have our Nathan. Look at chapter 12. Just go to flip over to chapter 12. Samuel chapter 12. All right? Look at the first verse. And it said, and the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him. And there were two rich men in the city and one poor. Nathan made up this little bit of story, okay? For all those who know this story about David, Nathan made up this little bit of story about a rich man and a poor man, one who had a lot of sheep, okay, which was David, and one who had this little ewe lamb, which was Uriah, which was Bathsheba, was his little lamb. All right? And the man with all the sheep had a neighbor, have a friend come to see him. So instead of him taking from his flock, all right, he took the one little sheep that man had. All right. Now look at verse 5 in that same chapter. So David's anger was greatly arose against the man. And he said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he had no pity. And then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord of Israel, I anointed you of king. Listen, don't ever think that you never got to the place where you are on your own. God has reminded David right now of everything that God has done for him. Amen. He says, I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house, your master's wives in your keeping. And I gave you a house of Israel and of Judah. And if it had been too little, I also would have given you more. See, understand one thing as Christians. We ain't got to steal. We ain't got to cheat. We ain't got to lie for it. We ain't got to sleep around for it. We ain't got to promote our way up to the top from anything. Why? Because the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. All David had to do was go back before the Lord and say, listen, this ain't enough. God told him, David, listen, if that had not been enough, all you had to do was ask me, and I would give you more. See, be satisfied in your completeness in Christ. And if it ain't enough, then go back to God and talk to him about it. See, it's very easy to look around and see everybody else getting blessed and this one getting blessed. And then the enemy whisper to you, but what about you? And then you try to promote yourself. You try to do things that are out of your league. You try to do things that are out of your faith. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. But listen, go before God. See, when you read the Bible, understand these are just examples for us that we ain't got to go through the same thing that David went through. He blew it badly. Abraham blew it. Joshua blew it. They all blew it. Guess what? But Jesus is the only one that didn't blow it. Out of all the people in the Bible, Jesus was the one that didn't blow it. Okay? Look at verse 12. And for you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before you. Okay? I will do this thing before you. Because you want to know why? God told David, listen, you gave the enemies of the world a chance to blaspheme my name. See, when we don't stand on the word of God and stand and say who we are, born-again believers, baptized, filled with his Holy Ghost, and we're out here doing everything like the world is doing, we give the enemies of God a chance to blaspheme God's name. Because why? Because then the world says that you're supposed to be a believer. Where's all the power? Where's all the Holy Ghost? Where's all that stuff you're talking about? See, we have a great responsibility as being believers. You got a great responsibility with all them fish on your car. You got a great responsibility with I love Jesus on your shirt and on your hat. Why? Because the world is watching you. They don't hate. They hate us. Jesus told his disciples, if they hate you, if they hate me, they're definitely going to hate you. And they hate everything that we're about. But we have to learn to take the power with the responsibility of the sin that's in our lives. All right? Because James 14 and 7 says, therefore to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. All right? Now, David was caught in adultery, was one of the big ones. All right? That's one of the big ones, because you know how, like, we like to do. We play the sin game. Well, I ain't as bad as she is because she's doing this. Or I ain't as bad as he is because I heard he's stealing, and I ain't as bad as that one. Listen, sin is sin. In God's eyes, whether you're stealing pencils or cutting heads off, it's all sin. All right? So let's take care of that right now. It's all sin in God's eyes. And if we know for a fact that we know to do good and we don't do it, it's sin. Okay? And this is the sin of omission. Okay? David was committing sin. But the things that we omit, the things that we fail to do, all right? That's just as much sin. The Great Commission, when we neglect our duty to tell the world about the gospel of Jesus Christ. How about that one? See, we don't like to think about that one, but there's one right there. Why don't we take responsibility over that? Why don't we pray instead of praying for houses, cars, new jobs, and all? How about, Lord, lead me to somebody that I can speak the gospel to today? Let's start praying them prayers. See, because that's the things that we need to do. That's what God wants us to do. All right? Because some of us act like we just snuck out of heaven yesterday. You know them people, right? They act like they just snuck out of heaven. I have never done that, brother. I have never done that, sister. Well, you can't minister to me because I need somebody that's been through something that's going to help me get up out of my mess. Amen? I don't need nobody that ain't been through nothing. God bless you that you never been through nothing. But I need somebody to speak into my life. And that's what happened here with David. Amen? God sent the man of God to him. That's why David's called the man after God's own heart, because soon as the prophet said to him, it is you, O king, David repented. And God said to David, he told Nathan to even get out of the room. And he said, go back and tell him his sin is put away. But that child that they had, that child's going to die. See, there's consequences to our sin. Because some of us are going through consequences right now of our sinful behavior. Yeah, God loves you. He forgive you, but you're going to have to deal with it. But you're going to have to deal with it. Amen? But what I want you to understand from this psalm is that you have a father who loves you, who is very merciful and very kind. Run to your father. Don't run away from your father. Amen? Because Jesus did not only go to the cross for your sin, he took the guilt, he took the shame, he took everything that goes with it, that's connected with it. Why do you think God connected shame and guilt with sin? Because therefore, when you did it, you know you were in the wrong place. It's just like Adam and Eve. When God said, Adam, where art thou? It's not that God did not know where Adam was at. He's omniscient. He knows it all. He knew exactly where Adam was at. But he was saying, listen, buddy, you need to know that you're in the wrong place. And if I show up where you're at, you're going to have problems. So you better come back over here where I'm at. Because if I come up over there, there's going to be problems. And that's what it is. It's better for you to go to God for him to have to come to you. Amen? Because listen to David. He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly. Just don't wash my foot off, okay? Wash me thoroughly of my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, okay? You ever know? You notice this? Listen, for I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is always before me. You know what I call this? This is the me and my prayer, okay? This ain't about the people I'm hanging out with got me in trouble. It's because I'm black, my mama wasn't in my life, my daddy was. No. See, this is me. I did this, okay? That's the point we have to get to. Because everybody got a reason why you're doing what you're doing. See, David is past that point. Because if you look, 19 verses, okay? 19 verses is this psalm. He never once brings up the kingdom. Here's a man who had gold. Here's a man who had chariots. Here's a man that had horses. Do you see him talking about anything about the kingdom? No. Why? Because all he's worried about is his relationship with God. That's the only thing that David was worried about in this, and that's the only thing that we should be worried about, is our relationship with God. Is my relationship right with God? And if it ain't right, God help me to make it right. God, give me the power to take authority over this thing that's been trapping me off all these years. God, give me the power to say no to sex outside of marriage. God, give me the power to say no to that woman, to that man. Give me the power, God, to say no to them drugs, to that alcohol, to them same-sex lovers. God, give me the power to say no. David knew. He knew where to go, and we should know where to go. Have mercy, God. I'm fighting this thing. That's why the Bible says that we can come to the throne boldly. We ain't got to whimper before God. Oh, Lord. No, this is your Father. You can come boldly to the throne and obtain mercy and find grace, that enabling power for your time of need. When you're in trouble, go to Jesus. Don't go to the alcohol bottle. Take responsibility and the power over that sin that's trying to entrap you, that's trying to keep you from the blessings that God has from you, because, see, sin severs the tie. That's why Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Sin severs the tie, because the same sap that's in the vine, which is Jesus Christ, should be in the branches, which is the body of Christ. But see, when we allow sin to permeate in my life, we sever the tie. And then you wonder why I'm not hearing from God. You wonder why your life is frustrated. You wonder why I have no joy, I have no peace. Why? Because you don't sever the tie. Sin separates. Throughout the Bible, you could see sin separated the people of God all the time. Children of Israel were some hard-headed people. He called them stiff-necked. Stiff-necked people, them hard-head, stiff-necked people. We ain't supposed to be stiff-necked. Not at this time in our life. Look at David, all right? But look at verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is always before me. So you got to acknowledge things that are in your life as sin. Not as, this is just the way I am, okay? Not because that's just the way that people do it. No, that's sin against God. He said, against you and you alone have I sinned. You ain't sinning against me. I ain't got a heaven or a hell to put you in. But he does. So you might as well stop worrying what the preacher knows about your life or what the sister so-and-so or brother. You better know what the Lord knows about your life. Because Jesus said, I'll teach you who to fear. Don't fear man that can only kill a body. You need to fear God that after he kills the body can put your soul in hell. That's who you need to fear. That's who you need to fear. See, we have elevated man so high that God ain't no longer in the picture. Because it's about the big time preachers now. That's what it's all about. But see, David didn't have that problem. Even though he messed up, he acknowledged, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Listen, David, when he woke up in the morning, he thought about what he did. When he was eating his lunch, he thought about what he did. Before he went to bed, he thought about everything he did. I took this man's wife. Here I am, the king of Israel, took another man's wife, then called him back from the front line, then put him out to the front line to get him killed, the cover-up. Because it says Bathsheba called David. It said, tell him I'm with child. The cover-up, Adam and Eve, put the fig leaves on. You know how we like to do. Get busted, put the fig leaves on. But guess what? The fig leaves are going to dry up and fall off, and you're still going to be exposed. Right? They're going to dry up. They're going to fall off, and you're still going to be exposed. See, as Christians, sometimes we can be some finicky people. You notice that? We got the blood of Jesus covering us and everything, and we try our own plan still. Let's try the cover up. Nobody will know until you walk out, and then somebody said, why you dressed like, how come you ain't got no clothes on? Amen. But verse 4, he says, for against you and you alone have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. You ain't going to be able to say that unless you have a true relationship with God. Because God is definitely going to judge your life. Whether you want him to or not, he's definitely going to judge your life. But when you're in relationship with God, that's the only way. See, that's the power. That's the power, taking the power over your sin, when you recognize and say, all right, Lord, it's me. Now, whatever you're going to do with me, let it be done. That you may found just when you speak. He sent Nathan, gave him that little bit of story. Yeah, judgment came. You, buddy, you the one. But at that point, he didn't run. He didn't hide. He said, all right, Lord, let's deal with this. And that's what we have to do. We have to deal with this. You have to deal with the issues that you have in your life, because only you know what you're battling with. All of us are battling with. We still battle. I'm still battling every day of my life. The only difference is I have learned how to fight. I have learned how to fight. That's why the psalmist said, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. He ain't hiding the word away. It's buried. So therefore, when the temptation comes up, you know what to do. Uncover it. Uncover the word. That's exactly what he's talking about. It's hidden right here in my heart. And not the boom, 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 boom. I'm talking about your emotions, your intellect, your reasoning, your motives for doing things. That's why the Bible says that the word is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of the soul and the spirit. Because, see, that's where the problem is in the soul, man. All right? Because we are spirit, we are body, and we are soul. All right? Now, the spirit and the soul, man, the ones that are always fighting. And the poor body got to go to whoever wins out. If the spirit man wins out, he go with him. If the old man wins out, he going with him. All right? But we have to understand the power of the word. It says, piercing the division of the soul that's in the division that's in the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. See, when this word hits you and you got an intention that's not of God, guess what? You're going to back up. If you're a born-again believer, you're going to back up. See, because when somebody makes you mad and you get ready to bless them real good, all right, the Holy Ghost is going to say, be angry, but do not sin. All right? Then you're going to back up. See, you take your hands like this, and then you go, oh, okay. All right. Okay? Because that's what the word does. When you hide that word, that's how God speaks to you. You get that word deep down inside, that's what you're going to hear. Anger is an emotion. Okay? But the anger is the end of the emotion. See, anger is Mount St. Helens. But unforgiveness, bitterness, jealousy, envy, see, that's the underlining stuff that gets built up. Anger's just Mount St. Helens. It goes poof. That's the end of it. But there's all this other little underlining stuff that's underneath it. But you have to understand, I could go to God. I could tell him anything that is going on in my life. And then he said, look at verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. You have to know the source of your sinfulness. You have to know it's in my nature to do this. It's in my nature to be angry. It's in my nature to do things that it's ungodly. David knew it. Ain't got nothing bad to say about your mama. I love my mama too, but she was born to sin too. That's the word. He wrote it. I did not write. I'm just a messenger, okay? Do not kill me, all right? He's just a messenger. Yes, yes, you love your mama, but guess what? She conceived you in sin because what of the fall of Adam and Eve? She didn't have nothing to do with it either. Your daddy didn't have nothing to do with it either. But know where the source of it came from, then you could deal with it. All right? Because, God, see, God deals, we sing that song, from the inside out. God deals from the inside out, not from the outside in. Because look at what David said. Behold, you desire truth, verse 6, in the inward parts and in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. That's a promise of God. He'll make you know wisdom. But you have to understand, God desires truth in the inward parts. What's going on the inside? You got the power to deal with what's going on the inside. Each and every one of you. We have to stop walking around like we second-rate kids. We are children of the Most High God. And he gave us power to deal with whatever comes up in our lives. Listen, verse 7, he says, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. David knew something about ceremonies, about giving sacrifices. But God gave him a glimpse of the cross. Because 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. That's what David knew. David knew that, Lord, if I confess this thing. Listen, the same God in Psalms 32 talks about the joy of forgiveness. All right? Because he said, when I kept silent, in verse 3, my bones grew old, though my groaning all day. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin and my iniquity I have not hid from you. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me. Don't hold on to that thing. Don't be ashamed of that thing. Give it up to God that he can forgive you. That's how you take power over that sin that's in your life. Confess it. Tell the truth and make the devil a liar. Tell it. Tell the truth. Speak to your pastors or speak to one of your brothers and sisters. Now listen, don't go to the one who got loose lips that sink ships. Because everybody in the body can't hold nothing. They like old refrigerators. They can't hold nothing. All right? Old refrigerators can't hold nothing. All right? All right? So that way you won't get your feelings hurt and it won't be in the Daily Freeman tomorrow. Okay? Of what you did last night. And then will you be whining and crying? Well, I thought she was my sister. I thought it was my brother. He done told everything. You can't tell everybody everything. All right? Some things people don't need to know. God needs to know everything. But we are supposed to go to our brothers and sisters when we're battling with something that's in our life, especially those who have been through. You know my life, fornication, adultery, all that, through the drug game and all that. Why? Because like James says, it was like James says, sin is conceived, all right? Then it gives birth. That's what happens. See, he looked too long. That's what happened. If you look too long, it's going to be conceived. Oh, I like her. I need to get to 911. I got to get to know her. And bang, there you are. How'd I get here? All right? You shouldn't have been looking as long as you was looking. That's what James said. Serious. Come on, let's be real. See, I can't fake church. I'm sorry. All right? I got to be real. I'm sorry. That's just the way I am. That's the way I live my life. I ain't no phony preacher. All right? You have to be real about this thing because that's the way it works and that's the way it happens. All right? David put himself in a position. Don't put yourself in a position. Sisters, if you're somewhere in places other than the palm of your hands and your armpits start sweating, it's time to go. Fellas, if you start cramping other than your legs and your arms, it's time to go. Okay? It is time to go home. It's time to say goodnight. I got to go. Excuse yourself. You know exactly what I'm talking about. There's children in here. I'm trying to be nice. You know exactly what I'm talking about. All right? You know how you doing. Yeah. That's right. That's right. But see, he knew this, and that's what we have to understand about this. Because listen, David went to God and asked him to purge him. He knew about hyssop. He knew about the Passover. He knew about, you know, the blood, the basin, you know, the Passover of the door. He knew about all these things. But see, sometimes that ceremony and traditional stuff, that stuff don't work. Because sometimes there's stuff going on in your life that stuff ain't working no more. All right? And then he says, make me to hear joy and gladness that the bones that you have broken may rejoice. See, I said in Psalms 32, when God's hand is heavy upon you, you gonna know it. But see, what happens with a lot of people, you're blaming the devil, you're blaming everybody else except for looking at you, because it's God's hands that's on you. And he said, my joy came to like drought. Listen to what he says. That the bones that you have broken make me to hear and joy and gladness. There was nothing funny in David's life after this happened. There was nothing to be glad about. Why? Because the hand of the Lord was upon his life. All right? That the bones that you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out all my iniquities. All right? Iniquities. All right? It's like taking a glass of milk. All right? If you have two glasses of milk, you have an empty one and a full one. And you take the full glass of milk, okay? I seen Bishop Cordell do this, blew my mind. And you pour it into the empty glass, all right? This is sin in the full cup, empty cup. You pour the sin into the empty cup, all right? This cup, all right? That's the iniquity. You ever drink anything behind milk? You have a glass and you pour everything you drink behind, nasty, right? Milk in a cup, anything you put in there, it's nasty. Iniquity. You know what that is? That's a propensity for you to sin. David said, take away that thing, that propensity for me to do these things, God. All right? And then he says in verse 10, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart. That should be the prayer of all the children. Lord, create in me a clean heart. Why? Because David knew whatever got inside of him was not of God. Whatever spirit had overtaken him. He seen Saul. Saul tried to kill him many, many times. All right? And I'm sure he read about Samson, that the Spirit of God had left him. Steve talked about that last night. I was chomping at the bit, but I said, boy, this guy's all up in my message. All right? But it's good. Same Holy Ghost. All right? But it's good. All right? But he knew about that. That's why he said, create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. He said, you could take the horses. You could take the chariots. You could take the wives. You could take the concubines. You could take everything. But God, don't take your spirit from me. That's why we should stop playing God so cheap. Because if God takes his spirit from you, believe me, you're going to be just like David, or worse, if God's spirit is not inside of you, the spirit to understand, the spirit to reason, the spirit to do things. And don't cast me away from your presence. We come here every Friday, every Saturday, and every Sunday night to enter into the presence of God. And we take it just everything for granted. But here's a man that knew, God, if you ever take your presence away from me, what will I ever do? What will I ever do, God? If I cannot access your presence. That's why when you come through that doors, the Bible says in Psalms 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. We should come in here leaping and jumping because we could come into the presence of God. And sometimes we come so burdened down from day-to-day stuff. It's no different for me than it is for you, but I forget about all that stuff when I hit that door. That's why you need to turn on praise music as you're coming to church. Take Nilly and all them off, right? Because it's just as bad as listening. Your eyes and your ears are gateways. Whatever you let in, that's what's going to be inside there. That's why a lot of times you come through there, it's so hard for you to get into praise because you got so much other stuff going on in your life. You should have been praising before you even came through them doors, amen? Listen. He said, do not take your spirit from it. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. All right? David knew he was still saved, but he didn't have the joy of God's salvation. See, we're born again believers. We should have joy all the time. Joy all the time. Why? Because I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. He needed that restored to him. And uphold me. Uphold me, God, with your generous spirit. Chris was talking about giving. And it's so hard, and I don't understand why you got to, like, kind of beg people to give to God when God is so generous. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave. God's a giver. And David knew that. Uphold me with your generous spirit, O God. Amen? And then verse 13, then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted unto you. See, when you learn to take the power and the responsibility for the sin of your life, then you're going to be able to transform somebody else's life. But you're the one that has to take the responsibility for it. It's not the preacher's responsibility. Our job is to lead you to Jesus Christ. It's your job to stay in relationship with him. Cultivate your relationship through prayer, through the word, through relationship with your Christian brothers and sisters, by coming to the discipleship training, by coming to Sunday school, all right? Anytime these doors are open, you should be in the place. Why? Because the world is out there trying to snatch you away, trying to take your mind, take your interest, and they definitely won't take your money, all right? Definitely. That's why all them advertisements on TV. And you say, oh, I need that. No, you don't. See, because they're always playing you that without that, you ain't nobody. Well, I got news for you. You are complete in Jesus Christ. Redemption is complete. The finished work of the cross is complete. You don't need nothing else except for Jesus. Tyler Perry got that movie, I Could Do Bad All By Myself or On My Own, right? You don't need nobody to help you do bad. You can do that by your own self. How many people are messed up in here? Come on. Let's be with the honest people. See? You didn't need nobody to help you, right? You messed it all up all by yourself. No help. Okay? So you don't need nobody to help you mess up. And all that people that are trying to make you mess up, you need to cut them out of your life. Amen? So listen. One thing you have to understand, too, about this sin nature, that you cannot eradicate the sin nature. That you cannot remove it. You cannot demolish it, and you can't eliminate it as long as you stay in the natural. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to control us, okay, you won't give in to the temptation. We have to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul said in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then in 5:24, he says, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Your passions are still going to be there. Desires are still going to be there. Appetites are still going to be there. But how are you going to feed them now that you are a born-again believer? Okay? How are you going to feed them appetites? And that's what a lot of people's problem is because, see, you're trying to walk in a new life, but you're feeding yourself the same old stuff. And you wonder why I ain't losing weight. Well, because you keep eating all that fatty stuff of the sin life. That's why. And that we have to understand that I have the power to take responsibility for the sin that's in my life. And David did it, man. David seen it, and David did it. And guess what? You could do it too. God is no respecter of person. What he does for one, he does for all of us. That's a good thing about the body of Christ and the kingdom, man. God ain't got no favorites, man. God ain't got no favorites. We're all one. I know some people think they're God's favorites, but they're going to be shocked too. They sure is. You know, you might have been mama's favorite, grandmama's favorite, but you ain't God's favorite. Jesus was God's favorite. Well, I remember I told you last time that when Jesus, I'm going to close on this, when Jesus got baptized in the Jordan, God said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. All right? At that point, Jesus had not did one miracle. That was the start of his ministry. Why? Because for 18 years, all right, Jesus was under the authority of Mary and Joseph. He was going to church for 18 years, but he was obedient to God. Why? Because his mother, like I said, God knew exactly what he was getting when he called send that angel to Mary. He knew exactly what he was getting. Does God know exactly what he's getting when he puts a call upon you and upon your life? See, it's through the obedience to God, through his word, that makes God respond to you. Because God knows you're obedient. I could trust you. I could trust you with the word. I could trust you with the anointing. I could trust you with my people. I could trust you. And that's the whole issue with God. It's a trust issue. And a lot of us have been relationships and other things that, you know, we trusted in people and we got the short end of the stick. But you could trust God today. You could trust God today. And I just want today, I want you to just close your eyes for a minute and just think about your life, because this is between you and this is between God. All right? And if you know for a fact that there's something in your life that you know that is ungodly, or there no, if you know there's something in your life that is contrary to the will and the way of God according to his word, then you need to come here and make this thing right with God. Because you're never going to be able to move into the fullness of the things that God has for your life until you make it right. But only you can make it right. You have the power right now to take authority over that. I don't care if it's addictions. I don't care anything. Any type of sexual behavior. Anything. I don't care what it is. The Holy Spirit of God is here today, and he wants to set you free. Now, you shouldn't come to Christ and be in bondage. The Bible says that who the Son sets free is truly free indeed. Jesus wants to set you free today so that you may be able to be restored and that you may be able to teach somebody else about the transgressions, about the offenses that are in their life, that is the God, the things that are going to lead them to hell and lead them to a place of salvation and wholeness with God, because that's what it's all about. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, come today. Come today and just come to this altar. This is between you and God. This is between you and God. You got to work it out. Come on. Come on. Don't be ashamed. Listen, I told you, Jesus went to that cross, took your shame, took your guilt, took everything with it. And this ain't a people thing. This ain't about people. And those of you who don't want to come, listen, don't be asking them what you go up there for. And it's none of your business. If you ain't coming, it's none of your business. It's none of your business what they coming for. They coming to get it right with God. Is Bob or one of the musicians here? Or... this is what it's all about. Come on. Come on. Open your hearts to God. Come on. Open your hearts. This is it. Because when you get done here tonight, listen, ain't going to be no more of that stuff. I don't care if it's unforgiveness. I don't care what it is. It's time to let it all go. God wants to move this church. We're called King's Fire International. The fire does three things. It either purifies, it's a sign of God's approval, or it's a sign of God's judgment. And we sure don't want God to judge us. We definitely want him to purify us. And we definitely want God to approve of our lives. But see, God is not going to un-God himself to accommodate our foolishness. He said, I am the Lord, and I changed it not. God ain't going to change his mind about sin. But he took care of it on Calvary with Jesus Christ. God ain't got a problem with sin. See, we the people that got the problem with sin. But it's through the cross of Jesus Christ that you can be set free from your sin. Forever. Forever. Come on, make it right, y'all. Make it right. Make it right with the Lord. I don't care what it is. I know it doesn't have its hands on you. It doesn't have its grips on you. But today is the day that you get set free. Today the blood of Jesus is going to wash you afresh. It's going to wash you anew. That's why I said if we confess it, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus is cleansing you right now. Right now, believe in it. The blood of Jesus is making you new. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. God, we thank you for the blood right now, dear God. The blood that never loses its power, oh God. The blood that's able to transform, oh God. The blood that's able to deliver, oh God. Lord.